The Washington, D.C. residence of the Turkish ambassador to the U.S. is a stately old place. It's easy to picture the embassy as a setting for lavish affairs of state. It may not be so easy to picture the place as a setting for boundary-pushing racial integration, jam sessions with American jazz greats, and a temporary home for two central figures in American musical history. But it was. A current series of concerts honors the historical relationship between the Turkish embassy and American jazz. Reporter Bruce Wallace has the story.
The interior of the Turkish ambassador's residence has high ceilings and dark wood and lots of ornamental nods to the country it represents. The American architect who designed it spent years in Istanbul immersing himself in Ottoman culture. On March 1st of this year, though, the halls of the residence echoed with a different sort of culture. Jazz pianist Orrin Evans and his trio led off a series of concerts inspired in part by a history that goes back to 1934. That was the year that Mehmet Erdogan became the Republic of Turkey's second ambassador to the U.S. You may have heard of his two sons, Nesawi and Ahmet Erdogan.
When I first came to Washington, I thought I was coming to the land of jazz.
This is Ahmet in a 2005 interview with Charlie Rose. Soon after he got to D.C., he headed downtown to the city's main record store.
And there were no records by Louis Armstrong. No records. It was a lily white record shop that only sold pop music, no black music. And a very nice little lady came up to me. I remember her name. She was called Miss Timmons. Yes. And she said, "I know what you're looking for." She says, "You go to 7th and T. There's some record shops around that area." She says, "They have the records you're looking for."
He found the records and nearby the Howard Theater, the city's main venue for black music. He and his brother became regulars and started inviting musicians they saw there back to their place.
And on Sunday, we'd have lunch at the Turkish embassy. And after lunch, we'd have a jam session. And we had the Ellington Band. We had guys from the Louis Armstrong Band, Benny Goodman, Tommy Dorsey.
They were wonderful. That's all I can tell you. They were very, totally informal.
Julia Gottlieb and her late husband, jazz photographer William Gottlieb, were close friends of the Erdogan brothers. She calls them the boys. And they were regulars at the embassy sessions.
There's something special about that kind of intimacy where somebody is performing and they can sense and feel that everybody there is responding. And they know that there are eight people around, but they're all getting it. They're all getting it.
At the time, D.C. was still deeply segregated, so the fact that these sessions were racially integrated was significant. And it ruffled some feathers. One senator sent Ambassador Erdogan a letter.
He says, "I pass by your embassy every morning."
Current Turkish Ambassador Namik Tan.
"And I see so many black people before your front door just coming in and out. Is this true, that what I see is true?"
The senator tells the ambassador that the custom of segregation is for black people to enter through back doors.
And our ambassador writes back, "Yes, Mr. Senator, you're right. What you see every day before our house is true. Because we have the tradition of hosting our friends through our front door. And in the future, of course, we would love to have you to visit our embassy residence. And you would be definitely welcomed through the back door," he said.
Ahmet Erdogan went on to found Atlantic Records. He recorded hundreds of artists from Ruth Brown and Ray Charles to Led Zeppelin. Nesawi brought jazz greats, including John Coltrane and Charles Mingus, on board. Music writer John Brovin says that the Erdogans' early willingness to cross racial boundaries to hear the music they loved eventually led them to record music that major labels had ignored.
They spotted the gap in the R&B market that eventually became rock and roll, and they were very instrumental in helping to break down the color barriers.
There were passing reminders of America's racial history at Orrin Evans' concert at the Turkish ambassador's residence. Julia Gottlieb caught one.
When they did the last number, he kept two or three times with little tiny phrases from Lift Every Voice and Sing. I said something to him later, and he laughed.
For much of its life, this spiritual has been known as the Black National Anthem. But Orrin Evans says not to read too much into that song choice.
It wasn't for any particular reason, to be honest. Sometimes other musicians, which is fine also, have this very worked out, "Oh, I did this because of this." No, I did this because it felt good.
There is one song he wishes he'd put on that set list.
"The only thing I would have done different is done an arrangement of the Turkish national anthem."
the World. I'm Bruce Wallace, Washington, D.C.
From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. Thank you for listening.